Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
It's crazy how it hasn't been more so. Like, I went to a party a couple months ago where it was the first time that I saw gay guys playing. And they felt comfortable playing because there was a couple of guys who were okay being pegged there. And my heart just flew, like exploded. I was so happy. And it's genuinely started conversations with other people who I know are a bit more hidden about it.
Welcome to Sweet Release Podcast with me, Barbie Jean. Hi, sweets. Welcome back. I'm Barbie Jean, your host. And today on Sweet Release, we are always here to empower you, to educate you, to inspire you to welcome the sweet releases and your beautiful erotic authenticity, whatever that is for you. And today I'm having a little fun episode with someone I've known for years, Miss Vanessa. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. And it does feel like forever. You were at the very first play party I've ever been to.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. It's been like 8 years or something. Yeah. And I feel like there's been so much that's shifted with both of us in the community. And you just recently just kind of came out to the world about your lifestyle and your vulnerability. And so I kind of want to ask you about that because we haven't caught up. But we are doing an AMA today, my sweets. So we have a lot of juicy questions that we're going to get through and we're doing them together. But first, you know, I remember asking you, we were on like a morning beach walk and I remember asking you if you wanted to be on my podcast. And this was like when I first launched and you just weren't ready yet, but now you're ready.
It's funny because I was at first and I was just like, yeah, let's do it. I was looking at the questions and then like some things happened to come up from a scheduling perspective. And I was like, okay, maybe this is a sign. I'm not ready to like fully come out yet. So you were top of mind where I was like, okay, I'm out. Barbie.
Hi. But you were also just recently on, and I have my Playboy shirt from 1991 on that I'm wearing today for you because you were just featured in Playboy.
I was.
Could you tell us about that a little?
Yeah, that was super exciting. Like having the opportunity to be in Playboy as like a marketing director for Lovely Fates. It was angled towards sex positivity and the lifestyle and everything that we've sort of been experiencing for the last 8 years. So it was really great to be able to be the face and advocate on behalf of Lovely Fates, showing people that like it is a community-based platform for people to safely experience like everything that you tell your sweets about and just another opportunity to shed light on kind of our lifestyle. And we're just regular everyday people who explore our curiosities.
Yeah, it's so nice to see it more and more mainstream. And I know there's more like movies coming out and just people are just kind of welcoming their, like I call it, their unique erotic authenticities. And everyone's so different. And I think it's just a way to discover new things about yourself. And it's so cool to see that article and your sexiness on it and all of it. So I'm just happy for you.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a big flex. I put some teasers out earlier where I was like, oh, working with Playboy. And I feel like people thought it was going to be like full-blown lingerie, bunny type situation. And so it was kind of a major flex where I was like, no, I'm going to wear my boss bitch blazer.
Yeah, with the blazer.
Yeah, because I'm just like, oh no, she was cool enough to be in Playboy and not have to be naked. Mm-hmm. So fun little flex.
I love it. Did you feel, because I know for me, like coming out publicly in this space can be kind of intense, you know, even like with your family, has it been like a roller coaster of emotions or?
Well, it was definitely liberating. I think it might have been a little bit easier for me because I'm already such like a bit of a wild child and like very adventurous and outgoing, like among my friends and my followers and stuff like that. So I don't think it was that much of a stretch. I don't have a ton of family on social media, so it's like, I'm sure we'll cross that bridge when it comes to it, but yeah. It's great to be just authentically me and out. And I've actually had a lot of people have so much support who I didn't expect, but people who had come out of the woodworks, but they're like, oh, me and my partner, like have been trying to break into this or explore it. And so it's like, I love being a resource for people who are curious about that to hit that. And I feel like you probably get that a lot.
Yeah,
too.
I can relate to that. Yeah. I think it definitely, like before I was like super public on everything, people were already coming to me as a resource. Yeah. And then once I was like, oh yeah, this is what I do. This is what I love to share and empower people. Then it was just, yeah, I'm more of that resource for people, which makes you even more empowered and liberated, like you said. And so it's lovely. I'm proud of you. Thank you. Really cool.
Proud of us. We're out there getting a good word out. Even it being in Playboy is amazing because I feel like it's becoming so much more common, like less taboo. People are talking about it. The movies, I feel like the movies aren't quite getting it right yet, but at least it's out there. It's starting to prompt conversation. I love it because when you talk to either lifestyle or non-lifestyle people about it, it's like you kind of gauge like where their education level is. And then they come to resources like this where they're just like, oh, okay, here's the thoughts behind that. Or here's how I feel as someone in lifestyle where it could have been a little bit different. Because what is it? Good Girl. People have like such polarizing reactions.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet, but I've been seeing the reactions.
We'll talk about it after. Yeah. Watch it and then let's chat.
Yeah. I've been seeing how it's, not a good take on the power dynamic, or maybe some people love it in some ways. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see. Okay. Let's dive into some questions. I have some like little personal ones that you sweets are going to love. I know you always do. And then we're going to get to some pleasure, some kinky ones, and just, educating you along the way. So thanks for being here for this episode. Yeah. So the first question I have, thank you for asking all these juicy questions always. I love you guys so much. What is the naughtiest thing you've ever done? Do you want to start? Do you have a naughty story that you're comfortable sharing?
God, I have so many. Do you want to start? And I'll brainstorm.
I'll start. So I was thinking about this. I have so many naughty stories, but the one naughty one that I was thinking of that I don't think I've ever even shared on here at all was one time, she's actually a mutual friend of ours. She was surprising her boyfriend with kind of an orgy, but it wasn't just a fun orgy. It was five women. Mm-hmm. And him. And she also hired a photographer to video the whole thing.
Ooh.
So it was not just this element of we were all coming in. Well, we all came in one by one. So he kept getting like a woman added. And so he was blindfolded the whole time. And it was just such a treat for him, obviously. He had no idea what was happening.
I was going to say, did he know that it was happening?
No.
And he was blindfolded, so he didn't know who was involved.
So she was like, oh, I hired us a photographer to take some like pictures of us, like professional pictures. So he shows up, they do this professional photo shoot. And then I think she was like, I think he's going to stick around and we might do a little like sensual photo shoot too, if you're comfortable. And he was like, yeah, fuck yeah, babe. And then she blindfolds him, puts him on the bed, ties him up. And then we have like our cues, like one goes in at this time, one goes in at this time.
Oh my God.
And I was the last one, which made me, I don't know, I liked being the last one. And then we just started teasing him and playing with him. And it just was like such a fun night because it also was naughty because the camera guy was shooting us the whole time.
Oh, hot.
So yeah. Some of those are on my FetLife to you guys that have my Fansly. You have access to that. Lucky you.
Immediately. From 8 years ago. Subscribe. Was it that long ago?
Yeah. It was like 7 or 8 years ago. Yeah.
Wow.
So that was one of my first, maybe seven. That was one of my first like just fun, playful group experiences. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And you felt comfortable being on camera, or did you have masks as well? Or
we were like, this is for us.
Freedom. Yeah.
But
best bang birthday flashback ever.
Yeah. Lucky him.
Yeah.
Do you have a naughty story you want to share?
Mine is quite recently, actually. Let's do one that's also birthday related, just because that kind of pinged to my mind. So a friend of mine, this was within the last month. It was his birthday. And he hits me up day of and he was like, hey, For those of you who don't know, like, I'm very bisexual and I use a strap-on for both women and men. And he knows that. And so this was the first time that we were going to play together because we had tried a couple of times from that strap way to do it. And so he hits me up on the day of his birthday. He's like, hey, and he's partnered. We're thinking of doing something for my birthday if you want to peg me. And I was like, fuck yes. Like, are you kidding me? Fuck yes. And he's like, okay, we'll have somebody else sort of come as well. And it was one of my favorite humans. She's a trans woman and I never played with a trans woman before. So it was four of us. And so I love kind of doing this like Tetris, like assembling sort of thing. So I'm on the bottom and he's on top of me. I'm pegging him and he's hard. So his partner is fucking him. And I was like, wait, we can totally add one more because she has her strap on. And so we add one more on top. And so I've just got this human centipede on top of me.
Amazing.
I was like, ah! Heaven. It was, I have a kink for like doing new things, having first times, popping other people's cherries. And so that was just all in all, having happened and all done like within 24 hours. I was like, absolute heaven.
That's such a good one.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Thanks for sharing. I'm jealous of you. That sounds so fun.
Yeah.
I do have a strap-on question in here, but we're going to get to that a little later. So stay tuned. The next question I have is a weird, funny thing you've done with someone in bed.
I do stuff like that all the time.
Yeah.
So, I know some people hate it and some people love it. I feel like a majority of us love it, but like me and a lot of my lifestyle friends, we like to have fun. We're playful. Like, we'll do jokes. One of my love languages is like trolling each other. So we'll like meow like inappropriately or randomly at like the middle of orgasms or make dolphin sounds or just do like really weird. And it's funny because you know that trend where people are like, hiya.
So I don't know
me and one of like my closest girlfriends from like across the room, if we just see each other doing something like fun and kinky and hot, we'll just be like, hiya, and like just shout from across the room. And yes, I don't know if it's anything super hilarious, but like constantly joking around with each other like that, like as one of us is orgasming just to start cracking up. And I think that's funny. I have fun with that. I know who does and I know who doesn't. Or I quickly learn who is not okay with
who's
it.
Not into the hilarious laughter all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, we're playing.
Yeah,
so
it's a part of it. Yeah, I feel like that giggliness is very common when you're even like talking about sex. Like sometimes I get really giggly.
Yeah.
So I think like adding that in the bedroom is like, you have to be weird. You have to just welcome that.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay, let's move to the next one. No pun intended here, but was your oral fetish an acquired taste or something you always had? And this was directed towards me. Mm-hmm. And I've never actually talked about having an oral fetish. I always talk about having this oral fixation and so just like loving things in my mouth. So I will have to correct this listener. I don't think it's a fetish for me. It's not something that I need. A fetish is more something that you need to climax and something that you really, that's something that's like something you always think about when you're, you know, when you're getting to your peak. So for me, it's definitely something that I think if I had to psychoanalyze it, maybe I have had it from a young age. But I think a lot of us as kids, you know, loved the Ring Pops. Like that was one of my favorite candies. And like, I think there's things from younger ages where I'm like, yeah, it was fun to like give head and it was fun to always like make out and do that. But I think the older I've gotten, the more I'm like, oh, you know, it's more fun to play with other things in my mouth. I recently got a pacifier and I need to welcome ball gags back. I used to play with those a lot, but like, just, I don't know. There's something about even like nibbling yourself or nibbling my man. Like I like to like have my mouth always involved.
Oh, well, it's a really pretty mouth. So occupy it for sure.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Do you have anything that you feel like you started at a young age for you?
Oh, in terms of?
Just like a kink, or this person was talking about the fetish, that like something that you always feel like you've always had.
I think role play.
Oh,
role
nice.
Play in my head, like even like playing with myself, even before having, you know, sex with people. And even to this day, like I will play scenarios in my head with that person. And so like, and that goes in tandem with like dirty talk. So it's like, if we're playing and I'll start doing dirty talk, it's like, you kind of gauge like people's interest or how well they can be involved or if they feel comfortable or not. And so I've started asking people ahead of time, but, and if they're not, it's fine. But it's like, I have it happening in my head. So it's like, if we're playing, I am involved, but you are a character in my head in the scene that I'm playing. And that's been forever. And it's actually incredibly difficult to find people who are comfortable with long-term role play in a play setting. Like, I feel like they can do it for like a minute or two and then they're just like, get nervous, you know? And even if they want to, they're like, I just didn't know what to say. And I like, don't know how to carry on, or they get nervous and they get in their head. And I'm like, don't worry about it.
Practice, you know, practice makes perfect. If you keep doing it, maybe you can find the person that can stick with you.
Yeah, exactly. Or if they treat, if they practice ahead of time, like sort of like the one dedicated MMF threesome that I had, it was with like a very good friend of mine, mutual of ours, where it's not his strong suit, but he knows it's a kink of mine. And so he like rehearsed lines on being a firefighter.
Oh, yes.
So he like showed up at the door with the clipboard and like was good. Like it was, it warmed my heart because I know he like rehearsed and practiced for me.
Yeah, that intentional really effort.
Yeah,
warms my heart, warms my pussy, all the things. Love that. Okay, next question.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
When was the last time you had a non-penetrative orgasm? And what was it like?
Last night, fabulous.
nice. Yeah, I was going to say like solo. Yeah, mine was like a couple days ago, vibrator.
Yeah.
Vibrator time. Mm-hmm. But partnered, like my partner went down on me. That's non-penetrative. That wasn't long ago.
Yeah.
What was yours? Was it with a toy?
It was with a toy. And so it's so interesting because I feel like I do have a strong sexual energy, but it's more heightened when I'm around people. And so when I'm by myself, I find myself just very mentally preoccupied with like with work and busy. And then it takes me a minute to decompress. And then I just sleep, rinse, repeat, you know? Mm. And so I've been so busy lately that I've told myself, I'm like, no, you need to like take care of yourself at least once a week. I know that sounds ridiculous and not a lot, but I was like, you know what? I had a very busy weekend. I've got a big week ahead of me. So let's just take some time to yourself tonight.
Yeah, have a sweet release.
It was a very sweet release.
Yay. Okay. Do you find there's a difference between like making love versus fucking? This person asks like how to make love versus fuck.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do think that there is. For me, it's energetic, I would say, because like I know people, for them, it's just fucking, but they're more sensual. And for me, that's something that I used to think was more lovemaking, was if it was sensual, it would be lovemaking. If it was rough, it was like fucking. Mm-hmm. But I feel like there's a balance of both. But for me, I tend to be a bit more aggressive physically. So when I had it sort of recently where I had somebody who I was sort of feeling a lot more emotionally involved in, where it was aggressive, but it felt different. It felt like deeply connected. I tend to not do eye contact a lot during play situations if it's not someone I'm particularly invested in. But like I kept finding myself catching their eye, and there's like a different energy, I think, that's accompanied by that. So
I think that's an easy way to tell too sometimes when you're in a deeply connective experience versus like just a fuck is eye contact.
Yeah.
Like I think that's like, okay, this is more sensual. This is more powerful. Like you're really like in being more intentional with this like divine energy. And so I think that's like an easy thing that I know, like I tap into more when I'm more like making love is like, is eye contact. But yeah, I think like there is a little bit of more You're right, though, because I was just going to say there is a little bit of more of aggression sometimes when you're fucking, but sometimes you can have a very passionate, aggressive make love scenario, too. So I think, you know, it's just, it's all about the energy.
Yeah.
And what you're bringing to the table and how you're touching that partner and what you're thinking about in your head, too. Like if you're very present and breathing, then I think it can be very like you're making love. Mm-hmm. But if you're kind of just there to like do the deed and you feel very disconnected, like it's kind of easy to tell, I think.
When you would go to parties, how were you with eye contact? Like, did it depend? Was it always you like, cause I'm like running that survey right now. Cause I'm like, is it just me? Like, I just don't, when people will physically be like, look at me and I'll be like, okay, fine. Like reluctantly, but I'm just like, I don't want to.
I think it would depend. I think there were some parties where I was very like, just kind of like a little bit more disconnected and just there to like have fun and mm-hmm. play and bop around. But then there was some where I would like latch on to someone or mm-hmm. I would like have a moment with someone. I'll be like, okay, like you're like the person I'm going to be with all night kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, it was definitely like, you know, more passionate. So I think, again, it depended on my mood in a way.
Yeah. I guess that makes sense. Do you tend to go into the parties with that sort of intention, or is it just like when you feel it, you'll go?
I think back then I didn't really know. Like I was just kind of like doing it because it felt good and I felt empowered. And I think like it took me several years to really figure out like what felt good about the experiences mm-hmm. and what didn't. And I think now going to parties, it's very different because I feel one, I'm partnered. But I was partnered in the past too, but it just feels, I don't know. It feels like my sex now is more intentional and more sacred. And I think it's a little bit more like spiritual to me in a way. And so I think like a lot of times when my partner and I will have group scenarios, it's in like the comfort of our home and it's more private. And I think the times where we've tried to bring that into the party space, it's just never energetically felt good.
Yeah.
And I think we just haven't been to a lot in the last few years. I think that's just like finding the right one, you know?
Yeah. And it's definitely evolved and grown since some of the ones that I've seen you at, right?
Oh, where
it's
yeah.
like, I'm even learning like the smaller parties, you know, like 30, I'm saying small, like 30 people is what I'd consider a small party versus like a lot of the ones that I'm going to now are like 100 plus people. And I get super excited for that. And I love engaging and meeting the people because I feel like that fulfills that part of the kink. But with regard to like intentionality from my end, like I think because I'm not interested in a deeper relationship right now. So it kind of prevents like potential, like in your original question, love making versus fucking, where it's like I'd love for there to be a hybrid because I'm more demisexual and sapiosexual, where it's like I have to have some kind of connection and enjoyment with that person. I can't just be like, you hot, let's go play. Mm-hmm. Like it'd be very rare that kind of a mm-hmm. circumstance. And so I feel like there's a hybrid in the middle there where it doesn't have to be lovemaking, but you know them well enough to have a playful experience.
Yeah. I love that. And I've always found that so interesting because you do love going to parties and stuff, but you're very like, you need to have that connection, which is cool because it is a great place to meet. And it is true. There's so many places now where it is like a great foreplay activity too. Like you don't always have to get naked there. But we'll get into that a little bit more too. I do have another question about play parties specifically, but let's get to the next one. So when should girls start to get used to adult toys and how should they be introduced? What do you think?
I think whenever they're curious.
Yeah.
And I guess the challenge here comes with parenting, mm-hmm. right? It's like if you know the general age range when women tend to start being a little bit curious, right? And that can vary. It's like, how are you having that conversation with your daughter? You know what I mean? Are you making it open? Are you allowing her to have those like conversations or questions? Or if she starts feeling some kind of way, like, would you offer your daughter toys and like when she asks, or would you prime the conversation with like, oh, your body is going to have these kinds of experiences at some point?
Yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot because my partner and I have been talking about kids and how we want to make babies in a couple of years. And so it's hard not to think about like these types of things randomly. They come to my mind. And I think it's true. Like if you as a parent don't tell your kids about their bodies, then they're just going to learn from their friends or their friends' parents or online and like, yeah. I just think it's better to come from you. And I think, I just think like, I sometimes wish I knew more back then to better prepare me for even high school and college. And I think just, I definitely will be telling my daughter and my son or with whoever they are about sex and about pleasure and how to please yourself. And I think like, I'm not going to be getting them like a hot Hitachi wand off the rip, but I'm going to be like, yo, this is like a tool that you can use and try it out or, you know. Yeah. When the time feels right. I think it's all about like how they're feeling about it too. And definitely, like you said, be curious.
Yeah.
And just kind of like, you know, ask them like, okay, well, what is it that you're feeling? Or have you thought about this? Or, you know, however it comes up, they might even come to you and be like, mm-hmm. yo, what's going on? So I think it's just like, we do have to have those tough conversations. And a lot of parents didn't in our generation.
Yeah.
And I think more so now people are definitely like talking to their kids when it feels right. When you know, you know. You know?
I hope so.
I hope so too.
Yeah. You arm them. All of us do better when we're armed with the information. And exactly. I feel like if you bring it in a loving environment from someone who they trust, like your parent, then I think that gives them a lot more confidence to go about it. Where if they hear alternative or different information, they're just like, okay, there's an additional variable to my base versus so much external information where they're just like, I don't know which one to pick and choose.
Totally. And if you even like build that vulnerability off the rip too, where you're coming to them being vulnerable mm-hmm. and opening up about, you know, your body and just sharing and educating them, I think that makes it a safe space for them to come to you if there ever is an issue.
Yeah.
And I always loved that my mom did do that. She was very open about talking about sex. And
really?
So, yeah. And I think, you know, when I talked to her about it recently, she was like, I must have been drunk that day. And I was like, Mom, that was like such a core memory for me when you opened up about that. And I was like, she was like, dang, I don't remember that. But then I always came to her. My sister and I both did. We always came to her. And when even, you know, when I got in a fight with my boyfriend, like I called, you know, I would call her. And so... It just felt like she was always there, which was nice. And I think that helps in their formative years when you're like talking to them and being, you know, opening that dialogue.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's a great piece of information that I didn't know about you. I feel like that probably explains, cause I remember your demeanor is so calm at parties when others can be so nervous or over, like you're just so level-headed, like you being you. And I always recognize that in like the few parties that we experienced together. And that makes a lot of sense. Like you're confident in yourself, even though you're exploring, you're always learning, but it's like, it felt like you understood yourself really well. And it's great that you had a positive role model for that growing up.
Yeah.
Most of the rest of us didn't.
Yeah, very true. I am blessed. I am grateful for that. Okay, let's move to the next one. Where am I here? Okay. Is a nap ever needed after a sweet release for you? And if so, how often? Also, opinions on consensual somnophilia. Oh. I think I said that right. Okay, that's a loaded question. Well, for me, no, I don't often need a nap.
I do.
You do?
Okay. I do. It's actually so funny because I have a bit of like, I have a very masculine alpha energy and I'm like lean a lot more into that. And so people joke around where they're like, oh, it's because you're basically a dude. When I orgasm, I'm like, I need a nap. Versus like studies say that like women typically are energized and this and that. Yeah, and I'm like, I'm not the case for me. I'm like, let's save that for the end. Like, because I'm going to take a nap.
That's awesome. You got the higher testosterone or whatever it is. Amazing. I do sometimes need a nap after a big sex party, I remember. But those are often like nighttime. So I think it's just like, oh, it's time for bed. Mm-hmm. But okay, so the next question is basically this kink or fetish where you're consensually having sex with someone while they're sleeping. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think like you do you, if that's something you're into, just make sure that you have like had full conversations about it, that you know what you're getting into. And yeah, it's a form of role play. Mm-hmm. I think as long as you're being safe and, you know, never crossing that boundary, I think you definitely have to discuss boundaries ahead of time. But that's not something I've ever been interested in.
I think that's kind of hot.
You like it? You're a role player.
Maybe it is. I don't even know if it's necessarily role play so much as like, but I'm super consent specific. But I talk about so much of my protocols with like the people I play with anyway. So I just feel pretty confident that they'll understand that. But for me, like I am not a morning sex person because I think if I'm already awake for a certain period of time, my brain is going straight into everything I need to do that day. I do not feel sexy. there have been a few times where it's like, I've been woken up by my partner or whoever I'm with, like with sex. And I'm like, oh, that's hot. Cause my brain is still like, can just focus in on that. And one of our mutual friends, actually two of our mutual friends have that kink where they're just like, I want to be asleep and just like not know who wakes me up. Obviously like the pre agreed upon people, but where they get woken up by sex.
So the the waking up part is like the fun part. Yeah. I think there's also a level of the kink where you're like literally like sleeping the whole time. But how would that even happen? I don't know.
I don't think that's possible. And there's a difference between like sleeping and unconscious. You know what I mean? There's a different boundary line there. If they're unconscious, let's not do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're right. It can be very fun when you're like getting woken up with that pleasure.
Yeah.
Okay, next. I'm currently listening to an audiobook version of Secret Garden by Nancy Friday. What's the most not safe for work fantasy you have found yourself thinking of while in sexual joy that had you going what the fuck afterwards? Okay. I sometimes would think about like vampire shit when I was like super into vampires.
Ooh, okay.
So I can imagine, I mean, that's the first thing that comes to my mind is like me like thinking of a vampire changing me into a vampire or like sucking my blood or I don't know, some weird like fantasy shit.
Mm.
That maybe made me be like, what the fuck am I doing? But also like makes sense.
Yeah.
Like I was really into Vampire Diaries and vampire books for a while.
A lot of people, very, very like smut book, sexy kind of vibe. I think about stuff like that all the time. So it's so hard to narrow it down, but something afterwards where I'm like, what the fuck? I mean, I don't know, maybe like kidnapping scenarios, like you know, type things, but.
But you have a creative mind.
That's I do. That's love. Why I'm just so like, I don't even know what would be considered like NSFW. All of it would be really.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it.
Power dynamics is a big thing.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, you know, traditional, like, oh, someone getting like caught, like hidden or like, oh, we're not supposed to be here. Like, I was like in the middle of a office meeting or something like that, or, you know, giving a blowjob while they're in a meeting. And
imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Zoom and they have to focus or like just those kinds of things where it's like, oh, you're going to get almost in trouble with like bridging that gap between personal and professional. Like that's a big one for me where I think about it often.
Well, because you're such a professional woman. So I feel like you can imagine that fantasy playing out a lot during your day.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay, let's go to the next one. I have some kinky ones, I think, coming up. We already have some.
I was like, those were pretty kinky.
Here
we go.
Okay. During sex or during bondage, what is a safe way of doing breath play, like ball gags?
The ball gags that I have holes in them.
Yeah, they always do, I feel.
Yeah, so some don't.
Oh, really?
Some don't. Some do. Maybe it depends on how core you want to be.
I guess I've always had the holy ones.
I'll test it out. I'll like be like, okay, is it working? Like the one I have has holes in it. I even got the ones with like the extra big holes just in case because it's the male subs who really love those ones.
Mm.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, you and your Dom energy. I love it.
It's fun.
I love picturing it. Yeah, I think, what was this? I guess like if you're like during bondage or during sex, like the safe way always is like discussing your safe words, obviously ahead of time. And maybe it's not a safe word since you have a ball gag in your mouth. It could be emotion.
Mm-hmm.
It could be like a tap of your hand or whatever.
Yeah. And I would say, I think the safety component is twofold, right? The breath play and the ball gag is one thing that, you know, but I think the bondage is separate. Like if you're talking about like I don't know, regular chair bondage is one thing. But if you're talking like shibari, you know what I mean? That's a whole separate situation where they always have those, what do they call those knives? So like sheaths to cut it. Like if there's ever like a code red or whatever, like just immediate boom, like the rope is off. So I think they'd have to, if it is bondage and rope, make sure that you're working with someone who is very experienced first in rope alone before introducing the breath play component, right? That's there's two different layers of safety that you'd really need to make sure that whoever you're playing with is aware of like what to do in case of emergency.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like make sure that you
shears,
shears. Yeah. Make sure you're comfortable with your partner if you're exploring bondage initially before you move into the breath play. And I think an easy thing for me to explore breath play, I think the first time I started doing it was when I had like a dick in my mouth. Like I would hold my breath and I would just like play with how that feels and how my body reacts. And so I think there's ways in your solo practice that you can kind of explore breath play before you do it partnered first.
Yeah.
That might make you feel more confident and comfortable in like your boundaries and stuff.
That's something that I actually has started to become part of consent speeches at parties is to a degree the breath play. But like in the example you just gave, like when you're deep throating somebody and sometimes people will hold it or go harder without asking that person ahead of time. Like it doesn't matter how kinky everything's going, but you have no idea where they stand with breath play and it does fall in that category. And so talking about that ahead of time too, even if it's one-on-one, like how comfortable are you doing that and for how long? And like, what is your sort of emergency backup? Because it's such a normal porno thing for people to see that they don't think about asking about that and talking about it ahead of time, but it could be a big turnoff for people.
Yeah, that's a huge turnoff for me if you like hold me on you and I'm not ready for it.
Yeah.
So I think that's great that parties are doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Okay. Next, let's get back in here. Okay. Can you describe in detail? Oh, this is a good segue. Can you describe in detail what a typical play party is like? I've seen some videos on sites and it looks like a typical club slash house party, but with people screwing here, there, and everywhere. They've definitely changed in the last 8 years we've been in it. But you are the, I mean, what are you, the director of one? So do you want to take the
reins? That's what I was going to say. I was like, it varies between parties, right? And so I'm the marketing director for Lovely Fate, which is a sex positive club here in LA. And they host it once monthly. And so, you know, it's usually theme oriented. It's like we have a screening process first before we admit people to make sure that they're like lifestyle aware, friendly or vetted, or just willing to be a part of the community in a positive way. And then you enter the space, there's like a check-in ID, you know, they do STI testing, wristbands as well. If it's your first time, you go to orientation. So they have an orientation where they sort of talk about the rules and the protocols and things which have already been sent via email, which are discussed in like the phone conversation that we have with people before we approve them. So that part of it is, you know, from a safety standpoint, sort of done really front-loaded ahead of time. And then on site. And then you have a social hour. Like, and this happens at private parties too, where it's like, there's a social hour and there's an area where it's like, there's a DJ, there's tons of games and what's the word I'm looking for?
Kind of like activations.
Triads. Yeah, there's like tons of like triads and activations where people can like meet. Like there's a lock and key to like, okay, you have to find someone and you get like, we have like a huge box of like prizes that we'll give people if like they match the lock and key, which is like almost everybody at some point in the night, but it helps encourage conversation with you to like go and meet people. There's like a kinky connection station where you can go and they do like exercises for like couples who are curious to meet other couples, things to ask, things to say. And so there's a lot that they do to sort of arm them because Lovely Fate is a very first touch point for a lot of people who are curious, you know, it's searchable, it's public. And so almost every event I'd say is about 40 to 50% completely new people. And so obviously that fades into like my personal kink too. I'm just like, how do I guide you into this world? Like I love it so much. And I just want to make everyone's fantasies come true. And like, I even describe it as like a lifestyle social because it's not a hardcore play situation. Like there's different playrooms, but again, I think because there's so many new people, it's kind of a hybrid and play tends to happen after all of the shows. You know, there's really well curated shows to be talking points and things for people to experience. And then people go off and play. Although I will say I've been seeing play happen more and more at these parties, which makes me super excited because it tells me that people are comfortable.
Yeah.
I've seen people go there from like, this is my first time, it's my second time. Like, oh, I've been coming for years And so it's nice to kind of see that growth. That variety. Mm-hmm. And then private play parties. Well, let's talk about your experience, because I feel like it's so different now. What was your experience with play parties from a public or private standpoint?
Well, I feel like in the first like party I ever went to was like a BDSM dungeon club. And that one wasn't very sexy. Like mm-hmm. it was just kind of like mattresses on the floor and it just wasn't very cozy. Just not my vibe, you mm-hmm. know, like it was the vibe for some people. I still had a good time. My first house party, like then it's like, okay, now I'm starting to feel like the vibe. Like there's music, there's like lights, and it's like, okay, there's toys. It's like also there's still some like BDSM stuff. And so I feel like from the beginning, I was like, okay, play parties are just a place for you to like explore and try new things. Mm-hmm. And, but I think like in the last few years, they've just gotten more like of a production, which I love. I think like there were some of those back when I started and there was like hotel takeover yeah. weekends and things like that, that I never even really did. So I think in the last few years, I've just like explored more of the bigger production value. And I like that because I think like we were talking about before, when you have more people there, it just kind of makes you feel like you can try different things. You don't feel as much pressure, maybe. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of house parties, it's like when I started going, like everyone's playing, you know? And so I think, but that was, I don't know, that was the vibe and that's what I wanted.
How many people would those parties be, would you say?
Sometimes there was 10 people parties. Sometimes there were 20, 30 people. Okay. Then maybe like a holiday party would be like 40 or 50. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think like, again, they're so different. Maybe what you were seeing to you listener, like they sometimes are just like house parties where there's yeah. food and there's snacks and there's music.
Sometimes
and
then it's like potluck style.
Yeah. And then there's people fucking like that is
famous meatballs at the end of the yeah. night.
So I think there is a level of like, yo, if you're in this space and if you feel like empowered and have a bunch of friends that are also in this space, then you have a party. And then sometimes it's like after this certain time, just mm-hmm. so you know, play is going to start.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a free for all.
Well, I would say all of the community leaders, and except for one, it's a similar format even to the public ones, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like you come at a certain time, there's a close up, there's a doors closed time. And the reason that that is so important is because we want you to experience the social hour and get to know all of these people, right? Because the ones I go to are probably at least 50 plus people and maybe at least half new, half not, which is kind of the fun of it. So you come to the social hour, and then for almost every single party, we'll have a consent speech. And that's sort of like the kickoff to play. So we just do like, you know, spend a good like 5 to 10 minutes just going over the rules. Regardless how many times we've heard it, we'll emphasize everything again. And then people get the green light to go off and play and do their thing. So I love it because it's kind of like a gong, you know what I mean? Where it's just like, all right, now go play. And everyone runs. And the very first time I went to one of these really popular parties in the Hollywood Hills, and I'm normally like a fire starter, right? Where it's like, if I see, again, my kink is getting people to hit their fantasies. If I see you vibing with somebody and like, I know one of them is too shy, I'll just be like, oh, and I'll like find a way to facilitate it for you. Mm. And I'll be like, go, go, go. And so I'm like a little fire starter. This one in the Hollywood Hills was the very first time. Didn't have to do that. After the consent speech, there was like this massive bed, like, I don't know, 4 huge Alaskan kings put together, completely filled within like 10 minutes, with everyone going to town. And I was never seen that before. And I was like, what is this new world? Oh, I love it.
And you're all a part of it. It feels good. I'm sure. Yeah. I think there's different levels of parties, but I do think like Lovely Fate is a great one to like start at.
Great one.
And I think a lot of those more kind of corporate-y, I guess, vibes are really good ones to start at. Yeah. And I think the consent speech is something that I never heard 8 years ago. And now it's something that I always hear, which I think is really important because mm-hmm. I did have a lot of situations at some parties where, yeah, my boundaries were crossed. And so I think like that's really awesome that we're now becoming, you know.
Because yeah. you don't know what you don't know. You know what I mean? And it's really, I can imagine it's very stressful for your first touch point. Like I imagine a core of this for people is like wanting to explore their curiosities in a safe space or meet like-minded people. And it's hard to do that when you're at a play party. There can be a lot of pressure. And so there's another brand that I do marketing with called Kinky Comedy. And so a friend of mine who was also one of the very first people I met in lifestyle, Mo. And so he's created this kinky comedy show, you know, that started in his backyard. And he just had that desire to one, like his trade and love of doing comedy and his love of lifestyle and merging that together. And so I helped bring that to a bigger venue at Spotlight in Hollywood. And I'm helping position it as like a social for lifestyle people. So that is the core demographic. So instead of meeting people just like boom, right at a play party and just going full, like full blast, it's like a munch. It's kind of like a modern day munch, which is like what we used to call them, where it's like a meet and greet and talk to people, but you're adding an element of like the fun, you know, laughing. For me, it's an aphrodisiac. Like, I think if you can make me laugh, I'm like, you can turn me on. And, totally. And so it's like having that. And then we have like a social hour. So I've tied that into it where I'm like, they didn't necessarily have that before. And so it went from comedy to a social hour so that everyone can kind of, you know, get to know each other. And if like they have questions, they already know the key players or to ask like, okay, like, how did you get into this? Or we're curious about it. And from there you can go to like, to get invited to private parties or to get invited to Lovely Fate and just be armed with more awareness where, you know, as a couple or even as a single, it can seem stressful and threatening to approach someone to talk about it. But if you know that like 80% of the people who are attending this event are lifestyle friendly, you're just like, okay, I'm going to ask all my weird ass questions and no one's going to judge me.
Yeah, it's a good, again, it's a good first place to do it. Yeah, mm-hmm. Kinky comedy has been on my list. I even had tickets.
Come.
I know. I was so bummed. I had tickets to the one and then the fires happened and I was too overwhelmed. Yeah. My schedule is just opposite. So I'm a busy girl,
boss babe.
But those are great advice. I think too, to my sweets that live in LA, like these are great places for you to mingle and meet people. And then, yeah, then you come more, armored up and ready for the big event. If that's what you were trying to do, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. Thanks for sharing all that. Okay. I think I have a few more. Let's see where we're at. So when you fuck a girl with a strap on, do you feel anything in your pussy? Is it mostly a mental kind of stimulation?
Predominantly mental. And I've done double-sided strap-ons and I've tried a variety. It's quite distracting, but I'm pretty high on the energetic scale for, I don't know if you're familiar with the erotic blueprint. It's kind of like your love languages, but from like a sexual standpoint. Mm-hmm. And so I rank really high in kinky, obviously, but the energetic side of it. So it's like, I genuinely feel a deep wave of being turned on when I'm strapping people. And I've also experimented maybe two or three times where it's like, I'm getting fucked while I'm fucking someone with a strap on. So it's like, it's interesting because that's different. That's different for me where it feels, again, I think it's the energy side of it. I love that energy side of things versus just like having another dildo in me while I'm fucking you. It doesn't have the same effect. And I'm like, I don't like it. It's distracting. I'd rather just forward facing and be stimulated in energy or other ways.
I feel like that's how I felt when I tried like DP for the first time. Like it was just like too distracting. You know what I mean? That just made me think of that. But no, for me, actually, I have a double-sided one that I got recently. And I've only used it once and it was on the previous girl we were dating or just seeing for a little while. So it's been a while, but I did feel it obviously because it was like kind of it was obviously like a bit smaller on my end, but just like still like as you're penetrating, like it's still, you know, it's juicing up my insides as well.
Oh, yeah.
I think in previous times where I have fucked with the strap on, sometimes even like energetically, it's getting like that, you know, obviously our brain is our biggest sex organ. So there's still some sort of kind of like energy that you can build in your body and make you feel, you know, aroused and stuff. And I have been trying to play around more with those energetic orgasms and I just haven't had one yet. But I think like there is a level of, it's obviously stimulating not just your mind, but your body too in a way, depending on the angles and all that.
Yeah. Or I guess even like so far as say, depending on which of like, which of the three holes is your favorite really? What is your strongest orgasm? Is it clit? Is it vaginal? Is it anal?
Gosh, I haven't had an anal orgasm in a long time. I think probably I like the blended where it's clit and vaginal.
Yeah.
So I like them at the same time. I mean, that's my strongest. Add in the anal, that would probably be a triple, quad. Oh,
I've had those in my guts. An absolute, what's just out of body experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like the anal ones for me, and again, I actually haven't done it in a very long time, but it's really left that memory, was just like so intense and happens so frequently. Like it's, I don't even have to think about it versus like, I think the clitoral orgasm is the one that's like also really strong for me, but obviously like takes work. There's a lot of action that needs to happen. The vaginal orgasm is probably like the least for me. Like it's a smaller like wave of intensity, but it's not very strong. So maybe that's why like the double-sided strap on, it's not as stimulating for me. Maybe if there's a way, because there have been times where like when the person's on top and it rubs me in a way where it is rubbing my clit and it feels fantastic.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. That always
feels good. There's like those attachments where it's like it can vibrate, but I'm just like worried it would like just be bashing into me. So it's like no, probably not very conducive. Some experimenting needs to be done, but yeah, so play around with that.
Yeah, the clit was the first orgasm that I ever had. And I feel like that is probably, yeah, the most powerful one and the one that lasts the longest too. Mm-hmm. That's why I always like to tie it into having it at the same time. Yeah. It's like a vaginal one because then it just like makes it, oh, so good. Mm. We're so blessed, aren't we?
We really are. I'm just like, to be able to do this, non-judgment, feeling free yourself, being able to talk about your kinks or do your kinks in a way where it's like, the community is non-judgmental. We'll try to make it work. We all help each other out. And like, these people are hot. So many of these people are so hot. Mm-hmm. They are good people, good-hearted, really compassionate, considerate, caring, and kinky. and like successful. So I'm just like, it's so incredible, like knowing these are just everyday people. And I feel like there's probably so much more in the world that we don't know about because it's just not as, it's still taboo-ish. I think there's been a shift. You know what I mean? Like even being Playboy writing about it and seeing these movies, like I really hope that that trend continues. Mm-hmm. And I'm so excited to see where like kink falls in like 20 years from now. Like how much more public can people talk about it?
Yeah, I think it is shifting and I think it's only going to continue to shift. And it's cool to be a part of it, both of you and me, you know, almost a decade ago and now how much it's changed and how much it's going to continue to change. And yeah, it is. It is a beautiful thing.
You're one of the OGs, Barbie. You're one of the OGs. I love that you're still like, and you've gone in different kinds of waves where you've like been in parties, you're in a relationship, you've played with it together, you've done intimate ones. So I love that you can do different kinds of journeys. Like there is no one size fits all. And we don't have to go balls to the wall right off the bat.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what I did. And then I was like, whoa. Like head first and all in was kind of intense for me. So I think that's why I'm trying to teach people is like, you know, baby steps and boundaries and learning what you like, learning what is authentic to you and what feels the best and really just like communicating and being vulnerable and opening up about all of it.
Yeah.
And it's only going to make you feel better and love better and love yourself better. And so
particularly with yourself too, right? Because I think something that I did that was sort of detrimental to me going into this and then seeing other people, and I've made it like my personal mission to like create like a girls crew and like just that and really sort of band together in that. It's like I felt, and tell me if you had this experience too, it's like you're going into this and you feel like you have to do it right. So like I felt like such an air of needing to be perfect where I'm like, I don't feel jealousy. I have to always be cool. Nothing bothers me. And like that stuff would just be buried and it would be hard. And I'm like, no, it is. So I love that it's so much more a part of the conversation now with the community where it's just like, oh, wow, that was kind of tough. Like just in a regular conversation with friends. And we're like, oh, we're all empathetic. We all hold space. Like you're comfortable talking about it. You feel heard. And like everyone knows you can't be fucking perfect in this. There are going to be ups and downs, up and downs a decade later. Still, it always will be. So it's realizing the humanness of that, like monogamous, not monogamous. It's the exact same thing. You just have to communicate a lot more.
Very true. And that was so well said. I think that's like, it was so telling for me in kind of hindsight, analyzing my first open relationship, because that was me. I was trying to be cool with everything. And inside it was eating at me. And I was just like putting on this front. And then that was just destroying our relationship because it was, you know, it was just eating me alive. And so I think like really just creating this space, like you said, where you can have these conversations and really talk about your feelings and talk about what's worked for you just makes the whole experience for people easier. Because then they're willing to be like, oh, okay. So for you, you've done this poly thing, but you can do this thing with boundaries and like, okay, maybe I'm somewhere in the middle or like maybe I am over here. And it's just like, we're all so different.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it so magical.
Yeah.
Yay. Okay. Let's see if we can get in a couple more questions. I think I only have a few left anyways. So, okay. What does it actually mean to be heteroflexible to you? I'm a straight man, but I'm turned on by the idea of getting bent over and fucked by a man with a woman watching. That being said, I don't really consider myself to be bi. What gives?
You want to take that one?
Yeah.
I have a ton of thoughts, but go for it.
I have a ton of thoughts too. I mean, I will say, you know, I have had some guests on here who do consider themselves like homosexual, for an example, but he is completely comfortable with fucking women. So I think like, again, it's your own boundaries, it's your own values. Mm-hmm. But if you feel like you can only ever fall in love with certain gender or a certain type of person, that doesn't mean that you can't fuck different types of people, in my opinion. So I think for this person that thinks maybe he's heteroflexible, I think, yeah, there's a chance maybe you are a little bit more flexible because you're curious about getting fucked. And by the way, that sounds really sexy. Thank you for sharing. I remember starting off my FetLife account and I had heteroflexible for a little while because I was like, what am I? I don't know. And that was like an option. And I was like, okay, yeah, I've only dated men, but I feel like I've had interactions with women. And then after like a couple weeks, I was like, no, I'm bi. Like, yeah. I was like, I am definitely bi. Girl, bi as hell. But you know, it's like, this is kind of like a stepping stone for people, I think, in a way. Yeah. It's like, oh, maybe I'm heteroflexible. And then when you become more empowered in your desires and what you like, then you can be like, oh, maybe I'm a little queer. Or maybe I actually am hetero and I'm just comfortable with my sexuality and comfortable with fucking. What do you think?
I love the incorporation of queer in there. And I think for the person who asked that question, like, I don't think you have to be bi in order to have those thoughts, right? And I think maybe exploring that and being like, is it not being in control that you enjoy, right? Well, one, that's your G-spot. Like, let's not deny that, guys. All of you should explore ass play. It's, trust me, it's phenomenal. Especially when like, but I have two sort of male subs that I think of that came to mind when that question came up where they're not particularly attracted to men, but they're completely fine being deep-throated and pegged by guys. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it has to be so black and white. I think it can fall in that heteroflexible category where it's like, just because you enjoy that doesn't mean you have to be bi. But there's some element of it for you that is turning you on, and just maybe explore more and see what that is. Is it, you know, and I'll say with the subs that I've topped before who are male, a lot of them have been in power positions, right? They've been a CFO. They're constantly making decisions every single day. And so maybe what's turning them on is just the thought of like turning off.
Yeah.
Somebody else taking the reins. You know what I mean? It can be very exhausting. So different elements. Explore more. Be curious.
Explore.
And if you are bi, that's also okay because we think it's hot as fuck. Because
you got two sexy bi ladies right here. Yeah, you do. Welcome it. It's a lot tougher for men. I know they have it a little tougher to welcome that bisexuality, but I think that is also shifting. Mm-hmm. And I love that.
I am so excited for that. I'm on a personal mission to make these parties more queer. And it's crazy how it hasn't been more so. Like I went to a party a couple months ago where it was the first time that I saw gay guys playing. And they felt comfortable playing because there was a couple of guys who were okay being pegged there. And my heart just flew, like exploded. I was so happy. And it's genuinely started conversations with other people who I know are a bit more hidden about it behind the scenes where like guys will like to get pegged where they're just like, I think I'd be open to doing that now. And so I love that, just like fully branching out and making it more fluid.
One of my first few guests too, back when I launched, he was super into as play. And I remember when he told a story about doing it at a party.
Yeah.
And it was like, he opened, yeah, like you said, he opened so many people's eyes to like embracing that side of them.
Yeah.
And so it is, it's like having these conversations helps. It really does. And then in the real world, like opening up and being vulnerable helps other people too. So thank you to all of you for doing it.
Yeah.
Well, I think let's stop there, but I do like to ask my my guests that last time they had that sweet release. I guess you did say you had one last night.
Yeah, last night. Yeah.
Was there one today at all or no? That was
I wish I had time. It'd be nice. And like my sweet release will be in the next 20 seconds.
Oh, dreams. Yes, that would be nice. But last night, are you a nighttime pleasure?
Yeah, I feel like I have more of a seductive, sexy energy at nighttime. It's just more of a turn off. Very rare where like in the morning, I'm like, ooh, let's go.
Yeah, there was a time in the beginning of my partner and our relationship where we did have a lot of like morning and daytime sex. And now it's mostly just like day sex, like before I have to go to my night job or like we'll like schedule it out. We are definitely daytime people. We just kind of turn into cuddle people at nighttime, like with the animals and everything. But the morning thing, it's interesting how that shifts. I feel like in the beginning of relationships, sometimes you're just so hot and heavy. You're doing it all the time. And I feel like now you have to like schedule it out.
At least for us.
But I think, yeah, you just have to figure out what works for you and keep
I mean,
doing
I'm single and I still have to schedule it out. You know what I mean?
Like,
you have to bake it in and set a mindset and just intentionality. You know what I mean? You're just like, okay, I've got like 2 hours before this date, like decompress, get the vibes up and go. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with scheduling at all.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And a sweet release before a date was something I always used to do.
Really?
Yeah. Just to get me in the mood, you know?
Oh, how interesting. I'm the opposite. I feel like I don't want to because then that like just like radiates through me and like adds to like the sexiness and the flirting and those like banter vibes.
It's kind of edging yourself in a way, you know, like building that tension.
I hate edging, but I guess so. I think I use it as like an energy source.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Love it. Well, do you want to tell my sweets where they can find you and kind of what you got going on? Anything?
Yeah. So you can find me online at The Frisky Flirt on Instagram. That's where I share sort of my journey and my experiences in lifestyle and help build curiosity into confidence for those of you who want to know. And my personal account is just Vanessa Duffy. If you want to see me be a wildling going out to music festivals, riding my motorcycle Yoshi and just traveling and all that stuff.
Yay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here and for just going through these questions with me. My sweets love the AMAs, so I'm happy that you got to be a part of this.
You got some good AMAs on there. I love it. Your listeners are like, all right, we know, balls to the wall, let's go.
Whatever. And don't forget, if you want to ask, I'll link that link below. And thank you so much for being here, sweets. Don't forget to be sweet, be here, and as always, be you, and welcome those sweet releases. Thanks again, Vanessa. Appreciate you.
Love you.